Do you meet with God today? You know, in order to come face to face with Him, it requires that we come with an open face. Open face means no hiding, no secrets, no pride, no fear, no questions, just totally open. And He's here. If you didn't meet with Him, maybe you need to strip some masks off. You know, get your face opened up, because He's here. I need a song that really fits you. So I need to come sing one more song with us here. This is a Harvey type song.
Song request?
Yeah, song request.
Wow. Cool.
Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Okay. I can't do it with that.
Oh, you can't. You got to. No. Well, I'll hold it then, because I want it on the tape.
Let's see. How's it going? I know, but I'm trying to remember the motions of the
hands. That's the hard part.
That helped me remember. Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider climbed up the spout again.
How's that?
Tenacious little thing. I woke up this morning. I went in my bathroom. Praise God, I woke up. Oh, I wish I'd have woke up in heaven, but here I am. So I go in the bathroom and here's this fat body, great big, I'm exaggerating, of course, big black spider in my sink. So I don't like spiders.
Nope.
Harvey's afraid of them.
Yeah.
I mean afraid as in jump on the chair and scream like a girl.
Yeah.
You know, Sue! Kill the spider! Or the mice. Same way with mice and snakes.
Open face. I get that.
I used to train and tame tarantulas in our pet shop. It's not hard. They don't want to bite you. They only do that if you threaten them. But I don't like them in my house.
Amen.
So I immediately grabbed the toilet paper, got it real thick, because she was a big one, and smashed her. And the verse came to mind where God said, on the list of exceedingly wise creatures, there was that spider. And in her wisdom, she took hold with her hands and was in king's palaces. And I went, wow, I don't know how she's so wise. Because when she comes in my palace, she dies. It doesn't seem so smart to me to come inside. I have a deal with all bugs. You stay outside, you live. You come in, you die. So I didn't see how that spider was so smart getting in my house. But that's what we're going to talk about today, because that's where I ended up this morning. I had to go and study about that spider. So we're going to Proverbs 30. Father, we just invite you. Holy Spirit, we release you. We want you, God, to crack this wide open, bring revelation, make it live, because only you can, Lord. Breathe life into your word. Thank you, in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 30, starting in verse 21.
We were ordained Baptists. I just feel like I was supposed to say this morning. We were ordained Baptists. I went to Bible college for 9 years, and we were Baptists like to the core. And I'm really thankful for the Baptists. Because they really got me grounded in the Word of God, church planting, and evangelism. And those are the three things that God does through me and what He had called me to do. So I think God knew what He was doing, planting me where He did, because we have a good foundation. But one of the things that they said was that women could not preach. And this morning, and I don't want to have to go into all of that. If you need some chapter and verses on that, we'll give you a whole bunch of them. But this is a training center for ministers. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. God does not only minister through men. God ministers through everybody. I got ministered to by the kids this morning. Okay? Now, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of humility. Now, if you want to be with the enemy, you could be in pride. Okay? But the kingdom of God is about humility. That means to be teachable. The best ability you can have is teachability. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. This is a training center for ministers. Different times you're going to see different people up here. There's going to be a time where you're up here. You, as an individual. Hannah's been up here. Patty's been up here. Glenn's been up here. I'm not sure if Roxanne's been up here. Steve's been up here. This is to train ministers. But see, every one of you is called to be a minister. A minister is not necessarily someone who stands up front. But every one of you already in your life has ministered to somebody. What a minister is, like that lady right there, she used to be a nurse. And she ministered to a lot of people in her life. Okay? Ministering is meeting the needs of another. Meeting the needs of another. Now, what I felt like God wanted me to say this morning was, when my wife went to share these verses that she's getting ready to preach, when she went to share them with me this morning, I've read Proverbs at least 75 times, the book of Proverbs, at least. Okay? We used to read a proverb every day for like 15 years or something, because there's 31 chapters in Proverbs and there's 31 days in a month. Do you think there's a clue there? And I heard a preacher say when I was at Bible college, said it was on the 11th of the month. I'll never forget it. He said, "Preacher boys, you want to be wise? Read Proverbs." And God just had me start reading Proverbs that day. And I started reading it every day. Then I shared it with her, whatever day of the month it is. Like today is the 12th. So read Proverbs chapter 12. Okay? I'm just telling you, add that to your little arsenal. And you'll find yourself getting some wisdom. Well, when I've read these verses many, many times, probably over 100 times, okay, I got more out of her talking this morning for a few minutes, just giving me an overview of these verses that I probably had by reading them, because I said, "Lord, I don't know what they're saying. Do you want me to look into it?" And I never felt led to like look into it. And this morning when my wife was breaking open the bread of life, it was feeding me. So I'm going to give you a hint. When you go to church, one of the keys is you're always a participant, never a spectator. That means when you're listening, if you agree with what she's saying, you could say amen. If it hits you where it hurts, you could say, "Oh me." Okay? I've just had a lot of "oh me's" in time. Okay?
But you can't say "oh you."
That's right. Don't go "oh you," you know, because you got three fingers pointing back at you, you see. Okay? So it's all "oh me." Okay? But here's what I'm giving you a hint. Pay attention on purpose. Hang on this as if your life depended on it, because I'm telling you, it does. When you come here, when you open that Bible, your life depends on it. And your life shows it every day.
God gave me a thought when we were praying, and it just now came back to mind. Do you want to be offended? Do you want to be challenged? Or do you want to be transformed? There's a few ways to take God's word. You can defend yourself and just be offended. You can be challenged by taking it mentally. But you can be transformed if you'll open your whole being up to Him and ask Him to reveal it and make it live in you and change your life. So let's be transformed. God is kind of like Harvey, you know. When Harvey says, "I just want to say three things," and you get one, two, and three, and then you get A, B, C, and then you get the little one, two, and three. I mean, he's got these groups of only three things but subtitles. Well, God wants to say four things and four things and four more things this morning. He put them in groups of fours in Proverbs for us. So let's start with 21.
We're in chapter 30.
Chapter 30. "For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. The servant when he reigns, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious or an angry, hateful woman when she's married. And a handmaid that is heiress, heir to her mistress." Do you know the fourth thing? It's funny because God kind of builds us up. The fourth thing seems like is always the hardest one to understand, but it's also the point. Why would we care if the handmaid was heiress to her mistress? We love rags to riches stories. The servant of the house and the rich man left him everything. Now he is the rich man. We love those stories where the poor man gets to be rich. The handmaiden gets to be mistress. Why is it on God's list of, this is out of order? This isn't right. Let's go to the next four things. "There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." Now, this just kind of offended me at first, because God says the ants, exceeding wise, are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are a feeble folk, That means rock rabbits, whatever that is. But they're feeble, they're weak, yet they make their houses in the rocks. And the locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. And the spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Remembering number four is the one harder to understand, but is the largest point. Now God said, exceeding, very, beyond measure, greatly wise, intelligent, smart, is the ant and the locust, which is a grasshopper, and this little coney, and the spider. Would God say that about humanity? We're created in His image, and ants are smarter than us. Wow, there's something to that. Now let's finish the chapter, and then we'll go back and talk about them. There be three things that go well, and yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turns not away for any. A greyhound, which is like a race dog, they move fast. And a he-goat, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. The king then is our point, and the fourth thing. If you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, now he ties it all together. I'm trying to tell you something. Now here's the overview. If you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. So let's look first at the things that disquiet the earth. To disquiet something, I greatly understand that, because I'm a quiet person. I like peace. I like quiet. We are all reflections of God, but we're all reflecting a different aspect of God. He's like the big diamond, each of us a different facet of God. Well, I come from this very, very hidden, deep, quiet place in God. I don't really like being disquieted. I don't really like it when everything is loud and confusing and just out of order, because I like things very peaceful, very quiet. A lot of you have that personality. You don't like confrontation because you just don't like to stir up messes, you know? Now, we don't totally understand those other people. Yes, I'm pointing at Harvey. We don't totally understand Joyce Myers. We don't completely understand those who seem to like to disrupt everything, you know? That loud part of God. Part of God that goes in and just blows the trumpet, you know, and wakes everybody up. That's a good thing done in God. But all of us have opposite sides. The downside, the side that the devil got a hold of in our nature, you know? Quiet people, peaceful people, it's wonderful. Shyness, not confronting, hiding, not good. Loud people, confronting, preaching, fire of God, awesome. Bossy, arrogant, not good. So there's good and bad on both sides of that. We balance each other. That's why opposites attract. We pull each other to that middle road. That's why I'm so aggressive and confrontational and offensive and in your face. Harvey taught me that while I calmed him down. We balanced each other, hopefully in a good way. So let's look at these three things, four things. Three things disquiet, fourth thing cannot be born. A servant when he reigns. When a servant is in charge, he wasn't designed to be in charge. He wasn't trained to be in charge. And I'm going to give you a parallel as we go through this. The ant, number one on the second list, the servant who is reigning but was not prepared for it. The opposite thing God is pleased with is this little ant who prepared his meat in the summer. So we have an unprepared servant who hasn't been taught, hasn't been trained, and what is he going to do when he's in charge? He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to do it. There's confusion. It's full of mistakes. It's full of offenses. All kinds of things get out of hand because he didn't take time to prepare. Now, the wisdom is we need to be like that little ant. We need to get trained. We need to get prepared. Anything worth doing is worth getting ready for.
Right.
That's why we have ministry training. That's why you don't put a novice in office to run a church as the head apostle, because he would run it into confusion. He wouldn't know what to do. So there has to be training. A brand new baby Christian might be more anointed, might have greater gifting than the leader of the church, but he does not have the preparation yet. Maybe he's born to lead, but he has to be prepared to lead. So when the servant just suddenly starts leading, he's unprepared. It's not going to go well in that ministry or in that job. Think of the work field where you work every day. Why is your boss the boss? You know, before I even found my spider, I woke up this morning saying, God, you know, I'm a simple person. I'm not really. Just because I'm quiet, I'm not simple. I'm extremely complicated. I multitask. I've got 5 million things. I can confuse Harvey in my first 10 minutes out of bed, jumping subjects. I woke up this morning saying, God, you know, I would like to just go out into the mountains, soak in your presence, bury myself. I love the word. I love to find the mysteries in Revelation. I would love to just shut myself up, continually giving myself to the word in prayer. That's the plan I had for my life. So why do I have to run a resale shop all week? Help run with my partner? Run into all kinds of issues and problems? Financial woes? Why do I have to do the graphic art and the text work for this phone app game and board games? You know, I've been working a year on these healthy eating games. Why do I have to be a boss? You know, it's full of headaches and responsibility and carnality and worldly things and money and stuff I don't want to care about. And then you tell me I have to go care about those things. Why do Harvey and I have to be the leaders of this ministry, which is growing and running into all kinds of conflicts, problems, offenses, confrontations? You know, there's a million places for a preacher to quit every day. There's probably 10 phone calls every day that would, you know, sheep bite, sheep bite. They should invent a medicine called, you know, the cure for sheep bite. And then there's the wolves. Why, God? I just want to give myself to spiritual things all the time. Why do I have to be in charge of so many things, responsibilities, headaches? And why does my husband that you call to be the apostle keep delegating it all back on me, making me deal with all this stuff? And God said, because that's what I created you to do.
Right.
That's your position.
Exactly.
That's what I chose to do through you.
Right.
Not because you're smart as an ant. Not because you're better than anybody else. You know, one time we had a very precious prophetess in our church, and I was the head prophetess. I trained the prophets. I was the head prophetess. But she had a great anointing. She was going to be a prophetess to churches. I was only the prophetess to Burning Bush. So her anointing was bigger than mine. Her visions were greater and extended all over the place, and mine were for Burning Bush. And she wanted to do something, and I told her, I prayed, and I said, no, I don't feel like God wants you to do that. You can't do that. And she came back and said, who do you think you are? I am a greater gifted prophet than you, and you should not ever tell me what I can't do. She says, Harvey and I are a team, not you. And I said, I'm really sorry you don't see it. Because I am your authority, not because I have a greater gifting, not because I'm smarter than you, but because God said so. Just God said so.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's simple.
And when God places somebody in leadership, that's who he's given wisdom to lead. All the other people that want to argue, let's jump down to the bottom. What did God say? He said, put your hand over your mouth and shut up. That's what he said. If you're complaining, if you're griping, if you're not happy with what leadership is doing, shut up. It's not your problem. It's not your place. You can take your hand off to pray for them. Now, we've been in churches where leaders were real wrong. I mean major embezzling funds, molesting children, major wrong. And we confronted them. We went and confronted them. You may confront leadership after you pray and God says to confront. If God tells you to. But praying for them is your major, number one. Jesus was way smarter than Caesar. He didn't come here to overthrow him. He paid his taxes.
Right.
Taxes probably weren't even right. They probably weren't set right. Ours aren't set right. That's for sure, and they're getting worse. Do you know if you win $2 million, the government gets 55%? They're getting ready to initiate that law. How is it right for them to take more than you get? That's not right. Now go ahead and rebel. You'll just go to prison. Jesus did not rebel against authority. Right. He did not. Amen. He submitted to it. Right. As long as in so doing, he did not disobey God. Now, when Harvey and I got married, he was a dictator and I was a rebellious brat. We had a whole lot of compromising to do. I didn't trust him to tell me what I could and couldn't do in my life. I only trusted God. I didn't want to submit to his ideas. I thought some of them weren't very smart. I liked mine better. But God taught me through the years. It sure wasn't there in the beginning, was it? He taught me through the years that he was going to give the leadership to the husband. He would give him the wisdom. He would give him the ideas. Now, I understand, because Harvey's the apostle and I am more prophetic. He gets ideas. God gives me how to carry those ideas out. And that works in our home. I carry out things a lot. He delegates a lot to me. But I had to learn, when we don't agree, he gets to win. Sometimes he's wrong. Sometimes he's wrong when he gets to win. And I still have to accept it with a good attitude. Because I know that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Yes. And I can take that heart to God and say, God, you can change his heart. I think you need to change his heart on this, because I think he was wrong. But if you don't change his heart, I will do what he said, even if it hurts me. Because if you don't change his heart when you could, I guess you want me to live through this mistake, because I'll grow in it and develop character. So submission doesn't mean the one above you is smarter, but it does mean God has placed them. And that's what this is all about, positioning. Positioning. That little spider that takes hold with her hands lives in the king's palace because she knows her place in that palace. She knows where she belongs in that palace. She isn't supposed to be king. Can you imagine the spider trying to become king? I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Can you imagine a spider wanting to be the king? And yet, God doesn't always call his king wise, and he calls the spider wise. She's wise because she does what she's created to do, without argument, without trying to usurp her authorities. She just goes where she belongs and does what God made her to do. And that's what every one of us needs to do. Find out our place, find out our position, and just do what God made you to do. You can't be happier than just doing what he made you to do. Now I jumped way ahead. So, let's go back. So that's why, number one, that... I'm going back to the very first bad thing. The earth is disquieted when a servant is reigning, and a fool when he's filled with meat. Now let's think about a fool filled with meat. I think about the rich man in the New Testament, and when he said, I have so much, I'm going to have to tear down my barn and build a bigger barn so I can cram more junk into my possessions. He was greedy. He ate to his full. He was selfish. He was materialistic. And he was a fool because he was about to die, and he couldn't take any of it with him. So when God said, this kind of puts everything out of balance, when somebody becomes materialistic and they get all selfish and they just want to be self-gratifying, I want to be full. I want to have everything I can have. I want to have everything that I want. I need, I want, I want. Do you ever watch What About Bob? I want, I need. It's one of his lines in that movie. A fool, when he's full, is not very wise, because those things just don't buy you peace or happiness. And let's, what was the second thing down here on the smart conies? They're weak, but you know what? They know they're weak, so they go and hide in rocks, because rocks are strong and powerful, and nobody can shoot them through the rock, and nobody can smash them through the rock, and hunters can't find them and shoot them because they're hidden in the rocks. So this foolish person who's all materialistic, if I had a house, if I had more money, I would be secure. No, if you hide yourself in the rock of Christ, you will be secure. If you know what your real security is, it isn't money, it isn't house, it isn't things. It is being inside Jesus,
right?
The rock, the solid rock. So we need to be prepared for what God's called us to do. We need to be totally immersed in Jesus for all of our security and our defense. The third thing, the odious woman, this angry, I don't know why I can't keep saying that word. What's that word you called her?
Hateful.
Hateful, angry woman when she's married. That disquiets the earth. Something disquiet is off kilter, not the way God made it to be. God didn't intend for angry, hateful women to get married because wrath is contagious. God says, go not with an angry man lest you become like him.
Right.
It's like a contagious, cancerous disease. So if this hateful, angry woman, she's got to get healing. She's got to get to God and be loved on. I was an angry woman. I was quiet anger. You know, some of you loud people, you lose your temper and scream and hit people. I just went cold and said, nah, not going to like you anymore. Not going to talk to you anymore. My anger made me very withdrawn. But when you get married in that condition, now you're going to infect a whole family. You're going to infect your husband. And the Bible says it's better to dwell on the rooftop than with an angry and contentious woman. Have you ever been around an angry, contentious woman? Oh my gosh. God assigned that to females, that description, you know? Men get mad, it's different. You know, just punch them in the nose and we're done. I say that sometimes when women are quarreling and bickering. Let's just get boxing gloves and teach them to do this like a man. You know, one swift punch to your nose, and now we can get along again. But no, we got to sit around and nag and gripe and complain and bite and be, claws come out and, man, women, they just don't let go. DBJ says he's being single. And he says, have you ever noticed? Women never forget. Never. They're going to bring it back up the rest of your life, dig that thing up and throw it at you again and again and again. You're never really forgiven. I hope that should not fit us, ladies.
Amen.
Get some boxing gloves. Get it over with.
Yeah.
Let it go. One swift punch. So let's go down and see about the locusts. They have no king, and yet they go forth in bands. Teamwork. The locusts, these little grasshoppers, somehow they got it figured out how to work in unity. A family ought to work in unity. You, when you get married, you ought to be an honor and a glory to your husband. You ought to just be a blessing and an honor on his head like Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31 woman has the law of kindness in her mouth. She looks well to the ways of her household. She feeds her servants. She clothes her kids. She works, sells her wares. The woman is not selfish at all.
Amen.
She's not griping and nagging. She's busy.
Amen.
And she takes care of people. And therefore, her family comes into unity. And they rise up and call her blessed and they love her. A church needs to work in unity. A job needs to work in unity. Wherever you work, it needs to be in unity. If you aren't trying to take a position God didn't give you, if you aren't complaining and nagging and griping about where He did put you, if you aren't being angry and contentious all the time, stirring up strife, then that job should be able to move like teamwork. Teamwork, unity, the church, the home, your workplace. If you are in your place, being who God created you to be is awesome. It's awesome. I spent half my life trying to become somebody else. I wanted to be like my sister. I wanted to be like Anne of Green Gables. I wanted to be anybody but who I was. I wanted to be somebody different until I learned who I am.
Amen.
And I learned to love who I am. Now I like who I get to be. I don't always like what I get to do. But I like who I get to be. So those are those first four things and how they compare the bad things to the good things. Now, I didn't do the last one.
Yeah, you didn't do the last one.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, the fourth thing, which is the point. I was going to skip the point. See, how good is that? The fourth thing on the disquieting the earth, the fourth thing, and when God says, in the fourth thing, the earth cannot bear. This, you just cannot bear it. You cannot tolerate it. This cannot happen. And the fourth thing is the one that's hard to understand. A handmaiden heir to her mistress. A handmaiden heir to her mistress. We're looking at two different social classes of people. I'm sorry there's social classes, but you know what? It's not communist, socialistic America either. We have social classes. God loves the poor.
Yep.
He said it's hard for a rich man to get in heaven.
Yep.
And he said he loves the poor. So why do we value the rich man's place more than the poor? You see, God placed us all where he placed us. There are some really wise poor people and some really stupid rich ones, and vice versa, and everything in the middle. But when a poor person, like the handmaiden, who was created to be a handmaiden, which is a slave, it's a servant. If she was created to be a slave and a servant, and now all of a sudden she becomes the owner of the mansion, what kind of an owner is she going to be? Because God didn't create her to be the rich person. So when people are placed where they don't belong, and I used to clean houses for a rich woman who wasn't born to wealth. You know, people are born to wealth if they're brought up right. They give and they're kind.
Amen.
They're not proud. I mean, a proper rich person. But this woman was born poor, worked in a Playboy club, and married a rich man. And then I became her housekeeper. Thank you, Jesus, for that lesson. Because she was so mean to me. She treated me horrible. She said things which somebody who wasn't born to know how to handle wealth would say, like, please use the servant's door. And the last maid stole from us, so I'm inventorying all of the canned goods so you won't do that. I mean, she was so arrogant, so proud, so rude in the way she treated people because she really didn't know how to wear wealth graciously. Now, if God has given you wealth, he's probably put you through a whole lot of testing before he did it.
Amen.
Because the preparation, the hiding yourself in Christ. And finally, he brought you to the place where all the money belongs to him. He can do anything he wants to with it. Everything belongs to him. You'll give when he says give, and you won't when he says don't. And you have learned it's all God's. Paul said, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. Both of them take learning, practice. And it's not an easy thing. If you only had a dollar, sharing it wasn't very hard. But when you got 10,000 and God says, give away 10,000, that's hard. That's real hard. If he can't trust you with one, can he trust you with 10? I love it when people say, if I win the jackpot, because they're playing the lottery, if I win $1 million, God's going to get half of it. Does he get half of your 100 right now? Well, I can't afford that. If you don't give it to him now, you won't give it to him then.
Right.
So if you weren't born to be a leader, you can't be a leader and do it right. If you weren't born to wealth, you can't live in wealth and be generous with it. So when this handmaiden became wealthy, I bet she didn't treat her servants very well. It's not a good thing. It didn't flow well. So let's look at the counterpart of that on the bad list. Let's get down there in 28. And now the verse that woke me up this morning. The spider takes hold with her hands, and she's in king's palaces. I'd almost let a spider live over that verse now, but probably not. This little spider takes hold. She took hold. They got sticky fingers, you know. When they take hold, they hold on. So this spider goes in the king's palace, and she goes in a dark corner. She doesn't need to be seen. She doesn't want to be recognized at all. But she's there to serve a purpose. She's eating all the wicked bugs. She's eating all the ants and the mosquitoes and the crawly things that the king doesn't want in his palace. She's actually serving that king by keeping all those varmints out of there. She kind of reminds me of a watchman, you know. They kind of crawl up in their corner and sit there, and they watch. A lot of people don't know who our watchmen are. You don't see them because they work in secrecy. You don't see our intercessors. They work in secrecy. They don't come up here and say, do you know I prayed for you all week? Clap for me. They don't do it for your clapping. They don't need to be noticed by anyone but God. And this little spider takes her position, and God says, because she does, she is an intricate part in the king's palace. Unseen, unrecognized, never praised, never paid. And yet there she is, eating all the varmints and little things that don't belong there, doing her job that God created her to do, and reproducing. Reproducing like crazy. Oh, man, can they reproduce? lots of little baby spiders. Now, I still don't want her in my house, but I really appreciate the analogy of she's doing what she was created to do. And that's the exciting thing. We look at people praising the rich, praising the leaders, wanting position, wanting power, wanting them to do things the way we said. But we don't realize, just you do what God said. Just you get where He put you.
Amen.
And fully develop doing what He created you to do. And you will be so happy. You'll be so happy. You know, the Bill Johnson's got a huge church. And if you go to Bill Johnson and ask him, who's the most prophetic, gifted person in your church, he will tell you it's the janitor. You know what? I bet that janitor's got the cleanest toilets in town and the shiniest floors because he's found out his position in that church. He's not up trying to say, let me prophesy over you all. You have to go find him. There he is, mopping floors, cleaning toilets, doing a great job on it because that's where God put him. And in heaven, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And we're going to go a little further with that. But let's go down and look at the other four group now. There are three things that go well and four are comely and going. A lion. I'm going to reverse our order here because I want you to look at number four first and get the point. In the end of it, God says, a king against whom there is no rising up. An established, placed ruler which nobody can displace. God has put him in place and he is there. He's planted, he's strong. Now, how did he get there? Because we compare him to a lion. He is strong. He will not turn away for anyone or anything. Well, let me tell you, when God sets you on a project, you better know that God set you on that project, because if it's God, the devil will attack it mightily, continually. I think of Nehemiah building the wall. Constant harassment, constant accusation. Sometimes those accusers got Nehemiah's followers to agree with them, and then the followers gave him a hard time. You can't turn back. You know, God told me over and over, and for years He said, we're going to have businesses that are ministries. You're going to run them like a business, because if you don't, they sink. If you don't run a business like a business, if you just say, oh, we're a church, let's just give everything away, it will sink and you won't have a business.
Right.
You have to run business like business. I don't like that. Because before I got saved, years after, God created me to do business. And I did business in the business world, and I did it for money, and I did it for pleasure, and I did business. So for years I said, I'll never do another business. I am just serving God. I don't want anything to do with money and business. And then God said, oh, but I'm going to have businesses function as ministries. You got to run it like a business. You got to guard it, protect it, do the finances, blah, 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 junk that goes with business. You got to do all that stuff and do it right. You got to advertise. You got to face all the junk that people do, but do it right. Because all the people that won't come to church anymore might come in your business, and if you're doing it right, you're going to love them, you're going to pray for them, you're going to witness to them, and you're going to get them to God, because they won't go to the church, because the church is so corrupt. Well, I didn't know we were going to do it in the same building with the church. Boy, did that double the headache, double the criticism. You can't have a business in a church. Hell, God. But He gave me so many verses to confirm it. And then He gave me more verses to confirm it. And then He gave me all kinds of people to confirm it. And then He gave me more verses to confirm it. You know why? Because I couldn't turn away no matter what attacks came. I couldn't change my mind. I couldn't say, wow, what they said sounded really, you know, sounded really right. Maybe we shouldn't do this. I run back home and I carry it right here. Look at that. All my confirmations from God. You can't make me stop what we're doing here. I am not going to turn away. A lot of you are mad at us. You don't like how we're doing it. You think we've got all materialistic. I haven't had one penny out of that store. I have not pocketed one penny from that store. Harvey and I have never pocketed a penny from this church. We don't need to. We own a business and we make enough money that we put it in the church. He does. He makes money. I spend it. You know, there's a verse that says,
"Amen."
I am helpful. I'm being helpful to him. I want him to be scriptural. And the Bible says, "Lay not up in store." You know,
Amen.
When God comes, he shouldn't find you have it laid up in store.
Amen.
So I keep telling him, I got to spend this money so you don't get in trouble with God. You know. But seriously, there are so many people, you just wouldn't even know. I go to bed at night and say, God, you know, so many people are against this. So many people are, there's so much fighting and arguing and contention, and that's just coming against the business. And then there's all that that comes against every time you preach. Somebody didn't like what you said, you know? I'm sorry, but I can't turn away. He can't turn away. We can't turn away. Not because we're smart, not because we're always right. None of it. But because God positioned us and we have
right.
no choice.
Right.
It's rebellion or obedience.
That's
which,
it.
Now let's get to that next thing. Let's look at that greyhound. He didn't even talk about the greyhound. He just said his name. But everybody knows a greyhound is a racing dog. Fast. That guy moves fast. When they get him at that starting line and they tell him, when I shoot the gun, you run. When they shoot the gun, he runs. Are we instantly obedient when God shoots the gun? We get prepared. We get the message what he wants. We get in place. We get trained. And when God shoots the gun, do we run with it? Do we run? Instant, fast obedience with our eyes on the goal and do it. No turning away. Fast. Quick obedience. Full obedience. Run the race that is set before you, like Paul said. And then we have a he-goat. I like the he-goat. He-goats have horns, and they butt things. You know, it takes a lot of breakthrough. It takes a lot of fighting. It takes a lot of butting up against the enemy and just hitting and hitting and hitting everything he puts up against you.
Yeah.
It takes looking at the people he's after and going into prayer and hitting for them. It takes some horns. Horns in the Bible represent authority. A horn means authority. In Revelation, they talk about 10 horns rising up. They're talking about the authority of the nation. Horns mean authority. So this guy takes his authority that God put on his head, and he butts up against the enemy with it. Now, I'm an insecure person by nature. I used to not like to make decisions, because what if I'm wrong? What if I hurt somebody? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong thing? Oh, God, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to be wrong. And finally, God said, enough. I would rather you make mistakes all day long and obey me and go do what I said to do. I've already covered the path with the blood of Jesus. It's forgiven. All your mistakes are forgiven.
Yeah.
Now just do it. Fight for it. Do it. Make a decision and stick with it. And fight the enemy when he tells you, you're not good enough to do this. I don't care. Jesus is the one doing it.
Amen.
It's not going to work. Not my problem. If it doesn't work. He said to do it. He's led me into failure several times. You learn a lot in failure.
Amen.
Doesn't mean he didn't take you there.
Right. Exactly.
You have to fight the enemy with the truth. The truth of God.
Amen.
Keep hitting him with truth. Truth is your horns. Whatever God said, that's my truth, and the devil can't take it away.
Right.
Now, so if we cannot be turned away, and we will run the race God set before us, and we will fight the enemy with the truth of God, you got to get the truth so you can fight with it. Then God said, here's a king against whom there is no rising up. Here's a king against whom there is no rising up.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't tell Harvey I was going to say this, but I'm going to say it. Harvey's a king against whom there is no rising up. Apostle Harvey. He's my husband. He can make a mess in a house. I mean, I call him a fungus. He's like a fungus. You know, he starts potting his dress, and it spreads. And he starts potting his office. I think I see it creeping out the door. You know, he starts in the living room, and then he gets on my dining room table, and we have war. I don't like it on the table. He does things like a normal man. You women, you know what I'm talking about. He's a man, and he's got all kinds of humanity in him. But he's also the apostle. And when it comes to this church, he's my boss, he's my apostle, he's the man of God. I serve him. I obey him. I submit to Him. I yield to Him. I don't care if God gave me a message this morning. I look at Him and say, are you speaking? And if He says yes, I just sit down. He's the boss. Some of you think I'm boss around here because I come in here running my mouth all the time telling everybody what to do. I'm not the boss. I'm working under His leadership, His authority, anything He delegates to me. And when you guys give me a hard time, I run home and I tattle on you. And then He tells me what to do and I come back and tell you. He is my head. And He's not going anywhere and He's not changing and He's not backing off. Now, does He have faults? Yes, let's pray for Him. Pray for Him. That God would deal with him. But you won't overthrow him. You know why? Because he's prepared. This guy's been saved for 35 years, I think. I'm really bad with numbers. 36 years. Really? We've been married 36?
Well, we've been married 35. I got saved the year before.
Oh, that's right. You got saved before we got married. Right. Well, you wasted it, you know, because you were doing drugs and partying and didn't prepare you. He went to Bible college 9 years. That was, you know, it took him about 10 more to get all that out of him. But he's been walking with God. He's been prepared. He's been positioned. He's not the leader here because he wants to be. He's the leader here because God said so. He's in the position he is because God put him there and he knows that. So it doesn't matter if we're smarter, prettier, nicer. He's not always nice. He's kind of confrontational. But behind it, he loves you. He really loves you.
Amen.
He's brokenhearted when you do wrong. He is. I see him cry. I hear his heart. I see the hours he spends before God for you. He loves you.
Amen.
So we're just going to forgive him for personality flaws. I love you. I think I love you as much as he does because he's a better lover than me. And I'm not really a people person. He's a people person. I mean, he meets you 5 minutes later. You know, you're his best friend. It takes a long time for you to get that close to me. But we're not going anywhere. And I know a lot of you are smarter than us. A lot of you have good ideas. A lot of you think you could run all this better than we are. And you see all of our mistakes. But we're not going anywhere. God positioned us. And no matter what happens, we aren't going to turn away. But I'm going to say, if you have a boss that's hard to work with, if you have somebody in a different church hard to work with, in your particular ministry, there's something about leadership that's different than other people. And this is what it is. And you might be a leader in training, and you'll relate to this. Leader over something, you'll relate to this. Leaders don't think the same. Once they don't think the same even when they're worldly. But this is one thing leaders do. They see the overview of what God puts them over. So I see the store. I see the cafe. I see the children's ministry. I see the nursery. I see the videos. I see the preaching. I see the worship. I see the sound booth. I see all of it. I see all of it. I work for a company called Eat to Win. I design graphics for them. I see the board game. I see the reality game. I see the phone app. I see the people I work with in there. I see the whole big picture. I am willing. If I'm a problem in that company and it's not going to flow right because of my art, I'm willing to give up my part and have somebody else take my place because I believe in the game and I want it to happen. I want it to happen. I want it to be good and I want it to be right. So anything that I'm messing up, I'm willing to step out of it. See, leaders care about the whole thing. Now, we could have a nursery worker who loves babies. And she's gifted and she's talented and she's placed in that nursery. And she comes in with ideas. And here is Jackie. What a blessing. Jackie just took over our nursery. Changed everything, didn't she? Came in with all new ideas. We had babysitters in there before. We're all taking our turn and not liking it. Oh, man, I got nursery today. I miss church. That was my attitude. Now, Jackie loves the nursery, loves the babies, brings them a lesson, brings them songs, brings them treats. She doesn't just babysit. She brings God to those babies, brings babies to God. We got teachers. They love that class. They love those kids. They'll come to me and say, we need supplies. We need treats. We need crayons. We need this. We need that. We need for my kids. These are what my kids need. My kids need to be walking with Jesus. What can we do? How do we plan for them? They're focused on where God planted them. But they're not really worried about the nursery. And they're not really worried about worship group, what they're doing. They're worried about the realm that they've been given to lead. But Harvey and I worry about all of it. We don't worry about it. We take it all to God. We see it all and have to bring it all together. See?
Amen.
Now, if somebody were to take the leadership here and all they really care about is the kids, what would happen for the rest of you? You know, so when you try to get out of where God placed you, you get out of what he told you to do, there's going to be strife and contention. There's going to be. Now, let's finish up the chapter because that's what God warns us about. He says, now if you have done foolishly and lifting up yourself. If you're a handmaiden, now you want to be a mistress. If you were a follower, but you want to be the leader. If you go to work at some store and you think you ought to tell them how to run it. If you come in here and think you ought to tell Harvey the whole church ought to be different. If you have done foolishly in lifting yourself up. Or if you fought evil. Oh, thinking evil turns into gossip, slander, complaining, griping. It's real simple. Lay your hand on your mouth. Just shut up. Just stop it. Just quit. Just stop what you're saying. Tell God all your things.
There you go.
Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter. Churn, churn, churn. Keep at it, you're going to get butter. Surely the wringing of your nose will bring forth blood. Do we have a volunteer to demonstrate that? So the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. If you are forcing contention and gossip and criticism and arguing and problem, if you keep doing that, all we're going to get is a whole bunch of strife. A bunch of strife. And that should not happen in the house of God. It should not happen where you work. We've owned a lot of companies. You know what we look for? Do you know the whole world is a tattletale? If you have children, let me tell you right now, your kids are going to tell you everything they know. They're going to tell you everything they hear in somebody else's house. Even your teenagers, their friend says, don't tell anybody this. They go home and they tell mom. We know everything. Moms know everything. Our kids come tell us everything. I know more about my kids than they could ever even imagine I know about them. Their friends told me, or their friend's mom told me after they told mom. Everybody hears everything. So wherever you work, if you talk about your boss, they know it. They hear it. My daughter now owns the bagel shop. She's got employees come back and tell her what all the other employees say about her. You don't make them managers. You don't give them the key. You don't give them authority. You listen for people that are company-minded. They care if the customers are happy. They care that nothing's being stolen. They care the house, the store is clean. You look for people who care about the business, and you promote them. And you hear all the gripers, and they stay on minimum wage,
yep.
And you keep wishing you could find somebody good. You don't give them position. Church is no different. We hear. We listen. I hear gossip and rumors day after day after. Do you know what so-and-so said about the church? Do you know what so-and-so said about last week's service? We hear that all the time. The world is a tattletale. A little bird told me. Bad news travels faster than good. People can't wait to tell you something bad. It goes quick. Self-included, we're all guilty. So don't be that person. Don't be that person. Just stop.
Amen.
And decide, well, what am I supposed to do then? Find out who you are. Ask God. Spend some time finding out who you are. It's very easy. This is one of my favorite things because we train ministers here, and I deal in inner healing, and we get to know the workings inside of people a little bit with that. I like to ask people when I meet them, what did you love to do when you were a kid? Before you ever even met God, what did you want to be when you grew up? What were your dreams? Most people throw their dreams away before they're 30. But then when God gets a hold of you, those desires came from somewhere. down inside of you is what you were created to do. Those were your interests. And there might have been a worldly way. And like my business, I wanted to start. I thought of the mall before one ever even existed. I thought of Myers before they existed. I was a kid drawing on paper. Wouldn't it be awesome if you had all these kinds of stores under one roof? Myers did it. Malls did it. I'm old enough, I remember having to go downtown to shop. We didn't have malls. I thought that up. I had a business mind. I wanted to use it to make money, make fame, do things, make a big mark, hit the world with something awesome, you know. I wanted to paint pictures that would be realistic and really, really awesome. And then I don't even see in depth. You know, I got a bad left eye, so I don't see in any depth. And I couldn't do anything realistic. People tell me they see depth in my painting. I don't. I don't see any depth. So I gave all that up. I gave it all up because I wanted God. I wrote books. I had a closet full of books that I wrote. They weren't godly. And when I got saved, I threw them all away. And I was never going to write again. I said, the Bible says it all. What would I write?
Amen.
But when God gets a hold of those things, and He wakes you up to His plans with those things, then we have a store that is bringing people in this church, bringing people to Jesus every day.
Amen.
My business was meant to be in God's hands. Then we have paintings that might not be extremely talented, but they're full of color and depth and the Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
And if God can get a hold of people deeply, they can touch them and they can go to the depths, because they aren't anything to the eye, but they are something in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit moved as I did them.
Amen.
All the things I wanted to do that were of God came back around, and they are part of who I am and what God planned for my life. You can only be fulfilled being you. You have to find out who you are, where you fit. There's days I wish I was the janitor. Not really, because I don't want to clean. But it would just take all the burdens off. Take off all the responsibility. Take off all this problems I have to deal with. Take it all away and just let me do some simple little thing. I couldn't be happy doing that. I could not be happy doing that. My son John tells me I'm so glad I punched that time clock 9 to 5. I'm so glad I don't have a business. I wouldn't be happy if I didn't have all these problems. I was created to multitask. I was created for challenge. I love to start stuff, and as soon as it's smooth, I'm bored with it. And I'll start something else. He created me that way. I like new things. I like challenge, even with all the headaches and problems. What do you like? What did He make you to do? If you're trying to be Harvey, good luck with that. There's only one, and I got him, and I like him. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to usurp authority. Don't try to rise up against your authority. Glenn and Roxanne, just cover your ears. I don't want to embarrass you. Glenn and Roxanne are the head pastors here. See, we don't use the pastor word on everybody. Harvey's an apostle. I am a prophetess. We're not pastors. We pastor the pastors. Pastors get involved in your life. They come when you're sick. They pick up the phone at 2 in the morning and run to the hospital and bring you food after your surgery. And they get all involved. Maybe they'll even go to your kids' games. Poor Steve and Cheryl. I think we went to one event in all the years we've known them. And that was when they were playing drums on a trash can. They've tried to get us to go on cruises. We're not social. We don't have time to be social. I got some beautiful dishes. They never get out of the cupboard because I don't invite anybody to dinner. I said the other day, I ought to sell them. I never even show them. I barely get home and make dinner. Whatever you're created to do. Glenn and Roxanne are the head pastors here. Glenn and Roxanne are your buddies. You see them every day. They're just like you. Glenn, now he's a turkey, and he's got all kinds of stuff. You got to, you know, just kidding. He's got a turkey picture on my phone now. I like it. No, they're awesome people. They love God. Doesn't mean they're perfect, doesn't mean they're right, but they are the head pastors here, and they have been for several years. They need respect. They need honor. They need submission to them. Not because they're right, not because who they are, but because of the position God put them in.
God put them
in. Dave Richards is the teacher of your children in there. You should honor that man. You should thank him, praise him, praise God for him. I mean, you should lift him up in prayers. He's teaching your children. Jackie in the nursery, and Shayla and Abby and Judy and Leida and all these women that deal with your kids, you should be praying for them, lifting them up for what they do. When God positions somebody, that is very important. Are you positioned? Are you positioned? Are you surrendered? Are you prepared for what He called you to do? You know, people come in and say, well, I've been saved a long time. I want a badge. I want to pray over people. You don't wear a badge to pray over people here unless you've been through prayer training and you've been a member in this church for long enough. We know who you are because we protect the people being prayed over. Now, sometimes God, in the Spirit, He's free here. So we're not all about, you didn't go through 6 months of training, you may not speak or pray. No, we move in the Spirit. This morning, God moved mightily on Joy. She's not wearing a badge, but He moved on her so powerfully. And when you get filled up with God, you got to let that flow. And He said, take her around and let her touch people and let God flow through her. And she prayed for people without a badge, without being trained yet, because God was moving in her. So we're open to letting God move as He moves. But find out who you are.
But God just wasn't moving in her. God told the leader to release her.
Right.
See, when you come and say, I'm supposed to do this, God, and He doesn't tell us, we're not doing it.
Amen.
And we're not putting it up for vote. Okay? Because we're waiting on God. Do what God says.
I like to dance. When I was worldly, I danced and danced and danced. I was one of those that would watch musicals and leap all over the living room, you know. And then I got older and I went out. I didn't even like to drink. I hated drinking. But I went to the bar so I could dance. I just liked to dance. I took every dance class I could take. I danced. When I began dancing in church, it was really different. You know, I was older. Things were different. But we went down to Toronto. And you know what they do with people? Because they had 4,000 people at a time coming there. People would get up in front and start dancing, and they would say to them, you can dance behind those curtains back there. That person didn't want to dance anymore. Why? Offended. How dare you tell me I can't dance? Bad spirit. Nobody's going to see you back there. Bad motivation.
Amen.
The ones who just went back there and danced their heart out with Jesus, eventually the leaders would say, you may dance up front. Does God want some people to dance up front? Sometimes, because it sets other people free. Our worship group is in the front. Why? Because it helps you worship. Not because they want to be seen. Nate doesn't like to be seen. I mean, look at him. He's a shy guy. You're right here in the front. Everybody look at Nate. That's amazing. He's on the front. He's usually hiding somewhere where you can't look at him. He doesn't want to be seen. DBJ never wants to be seen. I think that's why he's the sound man, because he can hide up there. You know, he sees you coming, he can duck. Who knows Charles and Francis Hunter? Did you ever hear of them? Yeah. They came to our old church, and I was dancing. And I was dancing in intercession prayer. And I knew God was in it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says to me, sit down. I went, right now? He said, right now, sit. And I went and I sat down. I didn't know, but I was being tested. Frances Hunter was finding out if I listened to God. She said, God, if that woman's really dancing in the Spirit, you tell her to sit down. And he did. He interrupted his own self and told me to sit down, because he submits to authority. The next night, Frances came and said, you are free to dance in all my meetings. If we get offended when leadership tells us no, stop, you can't. I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this. If we get offended, then maybe we're not in the right position in the first place, or not prepared for that position. You have to be prepared. And in order to be prepared for leadership, you have to love and learn to own that he that will be greatest among you, let him be servant of all. You ought not to treat your leader like your servant, but your leader ought to treat you like he's your servant. He should serve you. He should serve you, not try to get you to serve him. And if you don't have that heart to serve your people, you're not ready to be a leader. Because you need to lay your whole life down. You need to lay down your time. You need to lay down your family. I don't get to live near my kids. I get one. I got Janiyah and 7.5 kids here. Praise God for that. But I have 22 grandkids, 4 great-grandkids, a couple more on the way, another grandkid on the way. They're all somewhere else. I don't get to see them. I had to lay them down if I was going to be where I was planted. I don't get to, well, actually I get to or have to because I'm not social anyway. I don't get to just go out and socialize with everybody. I laid that down. We don't get to own our own money. You know how many times God has said, give it all away? All. I mean all. Not just the money. Everything you own. But your car. We've been tested on that money thing. We have a beautiful home. I thank you, God, when you have something, enjoy it. But never hang on to it. Because when He takes it, you should be just as happy tomorrow as you are today. When He takes it away, blessed be the Lord who giveth and taketh away. If He giveth it to me, I'm going to enjoy it while I got it. And if He takes it tomorrow, I'm fine with that too. Because He'll be bringing you grace. One of the greatest times in our life was when we were in poverty. Had to pray in every meal. When I get to heaven, I hope I can look at every face that I met here and say, I loved you, not I rejected you. That's what God cares about. Every face you meet here, how do you treat them? How do you love them? How do you let them love you? There's days coming ahead that aren't going to be so fun. We need to be prepared. We need to be in our place, however you're positioned. We have 50 blankets and 50 pillows in our basement. We have food stocked up. And we are ready to take people in if we have a disaster. We have the generator at the house. Should have put it here, but it's at the house. At that big house we don't need. Harvey and I have this huge house for the two of us. And every time we think we're going to move, he just starts a church in the house or moves our parents in or something. He has a purpose for that house. It's his house. If you have anything that is so precious, you can't let go of it, let go of it. Let go of it. I have one thing that was precious to me. A little cup this big. Precious moments. Little boy with some little cheap silk flowers. And that was at my baby's funeral. And I asked God, with all the times we started churches in our house, don't let this cup break. They can steal, they can break, they can do everything else, but don't let this little cup break. I really want to keep this cup. Just after we got this building, I said, wow, I'm holding on to something. And that something isn't my son. It's just a stupid cup. So I brought it and put it in my office where it probably will get broken because my little sheep collection, two of them, two of my 12 little sheep in there, two are already broken. You guys put the lights in there, broke the ear off a sheep. That's okay. I put my breakables in here to prove I'm not hanging on to them. So if people go in there and they get broken, they get broken. So my precious little cup is in there. You can look at it. You can pick it up. You can pick up anything in there and look at it and enjoy it. Don't steal it, you know. But if you do, I'll forgive you for that too. I put all my precious little things like that because I don't want to hold on to them. I want to hold on to anything but Jesus and where He wants me, what He wants me doing and being faithful, sticking my little sticky spider hand on what He gave me to do and not letting go, whatever it is. So where does your little sticky spider hand belong? What does He want you to do? Who are you? Who are you? You are created exactly as a reflection of one image of the great diamond God. And when you see fully who you are, you're going to love yourself. You have to, because you're just like your daddy in that aspect. So ask Him who you are. Find out who you are. And get in your position and do your position well. And don't keep picking at everybody else in their position. Father, we just give this to You. We ask Your Holy Spirit to just quicken it, stalk us with it, bring it alive in our life. God, one time we hear it, we don't own it. We need to live it to own it. So please just bring it in our life and follow us around with it. Stir us up. Remind us until we're living it. Thank You, Jesus.
Was that good?
Real. Yeah.
Can I just give you just a little glimpse into our heart and just say this? I don't know what it's been like for you, where you've gone or who you've been around in your life, but what God has put inside of us, okay? You know how we've said that we want to help you find out who you are and who God... Help you find out who you are, first of all, and then... And that's by hanging out with Jesus. And then help you to find out what God has called you to do and then train you or develop you into that, whatever that means. You know how we've said that? Just a little look into our heart. I want you to understand. Somebody I was talking to this week, but it happens all the time with me. People talk to me and they tell me about how their life is a failure, or things aren't going right, or they've had major setbacks, or they're having to start over. Do you understand that I want to help? Now, there's some of you, like Tim, that they're just a character. But see, what we want, or Glenn, but what we, or me, but what we want to do, every time I look at that picture of you two together, it's like, what a character. You know, it's just a fit. That's what it is, you know. If you come here, you're probably a character. Or you need some major ones in your life, maybe, okay? But God is wanting to develop character in you. Develop your character. Make you strong. Make you to where... You are living life. You're not existing. You're not like it's not fun living from paycheck to paycheck. It's not fun having more month than money. Okay? That's not fun. But I'm looking at your life. That's just one aspect of your life. You see, that's what so many people live for, and they miss life because they're just living for money and things, and it's all temporary. And if you don't have money, you're still going to live. I know, because we have. We have had nothing. I mean, capital letter, nothing. But when you don't have money, you don't have problems. Because you don't have nothing. So, somebody's got to take care of you or something, you know? Now, this is what I'm going to say. There's a verse, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 and verse 17, one of those two verses. And it says, when Sue and I stand before God, we are going to give an account of you and your life. Amen. A year from now, I don't want your marriage to be on the rocks. I mean, I don't want it to be on the I don't want to be on the rocks now, but I'm saying a year from now, I don't want your marriage to be on the rocks. I'm trying to help you understand something. I don't want your kids to be into drugs and sleeping around and you're a grandparent and they're not married. I don't want your kids having disease. I don't want your kids not having anything to do with God. And their lives are miserable and they got all kinds of, and you come to us. Now, when you come to us with those problems, we're going to love you and help you as best we can. But I'm trying with all my heart, with everything we know to do, and with all the failures, I say to God, I have asked God in the last 3 or 4 months, I think, I've asked God at least a half a dozen times, do you want me to resign here? Because I see problems or I see things and I say, God, am I in the way? Am I doing something wrong? Are they not going forward because I'm in the way? Every time God like, and where did that thought come, Harv? You know? He said, I didn't give you that thought. But I'm willing, like she said, to get out of the way. Because what I want is what's best for you. Do you understand? I'm not after you. When we do this offering thing, I don't get anything. We're not supported by that. We support Glenn and Roxanne by that. We're not supported. God takes care of us. I'm not after what you have. I'm after you. Do you understand? That's how I run my business. I spend all kinds of time helping people with their project that I don't make money on. I tell them how to do things. I tell them where to go. I give them proper people to call. I spend hours, lots of time, talking to people, helping them, that I don't get recompense for. Because I treat the customer, I tell them, I'm after you. I said, I'm busy all the time. I don't need your job, to be honest. I don't need your job. I said, but I want you. And I want to do a job in such a way that 10 years from now, you're still telling people about me and referring them. Do you understand? I care about you. When we teach stuff, when we preach stuff, when we do stuff, when we make decisions and you don't understand, you need to remember something. You ought to write it down. They are for us. We're not against you. We're for you. But a lot of stuff we say is going to help develop character in you. But it ain't fun, is it, Patty? But it's God, isn't it, Patty? Is it God?
Yes, it is.
Yes, but it ain't fun, is it?